Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid. When it comes to travel, we all have that one happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, a little couple's getaway, or even to visit that best friend that you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. I even did their jingle, did you hear that? Personally, my happy place is the beach, sitting next to Drew, pina colada in one hand, book in the other. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everybody gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. Ugh, just kidding. I love you, family. But it could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. Maybe I'll invite my mailman. Just kidding. I don't know him. So I'll bring Elena, Mikey, and Dave, and of course, my Who's Band. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
Hey, weirdos. I'm Elena.
Hey, weirdos. I'm Ash.
Well, you said it twice. And this is Morbid.
I threw you off.
That was really weird. I don't like when you throw off the whole vibe.
I kind of just do it to mess with you because honestly, it doesn't feel great for me either, but messing with you does.
Honestly, it does not feel great for me either. So we're suffering together.
Hey.
Straight up, not a good time.
Yeah, as you can tell, we're a little punchy.
We're feeling punchy.
We're a little slappy. we're feeling all kinds of things, but no. We're not doing a listener tale.
No, no.
Those are fucking great. We're doing a haunted motherfucking hotels episode installment numero uno.
It's a new installment. Nope, not a new. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. A new series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Believe in yourself.
Do it.
I believe in me.
And you know what?
I felt like Patrick Swayze and Donnie Darko.
It's so true.
And you were like,
I'm not afraid.
Yes. Donnie Darko is a great movie. You should watch it. Patrick Swayze was great in it, and he was also terrifying.
R.I.P.
So we also were feeling pretty spooky because our boy,
our Drucifer, motherfucking man,
fucking boy, took a little trip without saying a word to us.
Didn't say anything.
Went to Bath and Body Works, which I don't know if you guys have been on TikTok, and if your TikTok is as spooky and Halloweeny as
mine is too, man.
But it has been all over TikTok how Bath and Body Works has all these amazing little spooky ooky Halloween things.
And boy, the fuck they do.
Drew just went on his own volition.
Accord.
And for the Pod Lab, bought this spooky Victorian, like, vampire hand candle holder for us.
It's wearing a ring.
Wearing a fucking ring.
It has acrylics.
Great nails.
We're gonna paint them.
Great. And bought, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 candles?
Yeah, 6.
6 pumpkin fall candles for the Pod Lab. We have 2 burning right now. It is fall. I know, you know what, tomorrow it is supposed to be over 100 degrees here.
Fuck that.
But that doesn't matter because fall is in our hearts and it's in the Pod Lab.
Honestly.
And it's thanks to Drucifer.
It's thanks to my man. If you hear tapping, I'm Googling how many days until Halloween.
There you go.
How many
And you
days?
Know what? Drew killed it. He put us in the right spooky mood and we were like, you know what? Spooky it is today.
I mean, there's only 89 days left until Halloween. That's like 4 days, if you ask me.
It's essentially right around the corner.
It's time to start celebrating.
The harvest is coming.
Hop on your brooms, fucking heat up your pumpkin latte, get your knee socks out, and let's go ghost hunting, bitches.
Yes, and you know what? Speaking of ghost hunting, for my
Look
first,
that.
You like, that segue was primo.
I just teed you up there.
You just teed me up so perfectly. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Because my first hotel that I'm going to cover is the Langham Hotel in London.
Sounds langy.
You know me. I cannot get away from London. I just spent 5 episodes in London, but somehow here I am.
Yeah, you should chill.
I will not leave. You're stuck with me, London.
You have, like, honestly, at this point, I think you have, like, dual citizenship.
I think I do. I think I qualify, and that's fine with me because I really want to go.
Did I make that joke already?
Maybe, but fuck. I love it. But it's true.
It's a good joke.
You know what? Still true. Still true. I don't see any falsities there. And you know what? I say ghost hunting when you mentioned it because while I was looking up, this hotel is like super haunted.
Mm.
Like the most haunted hotel in London in like ever. It's just very haunted.
I love that.
And it's gorgeous. And I was watching some stuff about the hauntings of it, and I came across this YouTube channel. I don't follow, like, I'm not a YouTube person, really.
No.
Like, I don't really go on YouTube that much.
I really only go on it at this point for, like, research purposes.
Yeah, sometimes I'll stumble upon stuff, and, like, I respect the YouTube game. So I came up on this YouTube channel that was these 4 guys that were in London. They were American. I can tell right
away.
They
still are.
they were and they still are. At least I'm pretty sure. I haven't double-checked that. But they were at that time. And they were in the Langham Hotel and they were doing like they're like paranormal. It's a day. Today.
It's
paranormal investigators and they were doing an investigation at the Langham. So I was like, I'm going to watch this. Their names are Sam and Colby.
They're really great.
I know some of you must know this YouTube channel because I know people watch YouTube and like follow creators on there. They're hilarious.
I was not even watching the video. I was like sitting on the little couch over there listening and I was cracking up.
I was dying. I was like, what? Who are they? Can we be friends? Can we do a paranormal investigation together now?
I want to do one.
I've watched 1 video and I am sold.
Let's be friends.
I'm a fan now. I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. So I think they already did the Lizzie Borden house, but we could find another one.
We could go back. There's always more investigations to be had.
I was going to say, I don't think you got all the ghosties in there, so I'm sure we could conjure up some.
Let's
go, Sam and Colby. That's my official pitch. So tweet at them or something. Make it happen.
Oh,
so,
my God, do it.
Let's go.
Sorry for your tweet,
I was in love with it. So the hotel is gorgeous.
Ooh.
Gorgeous. It was built in 1865. It was designed by architect John Giles. I don't know if it's Giles or Giles. I also like Giles because of Buffy. So
there you go. That.
It has somewhere around 500 rooms, probably more, and was built as London's first grand hotel.
Ooh, weren't they all?
Weren't they all? Oscar Wilde and Mark Twain have apparently stayed there before.
Bitch.
And it's part of a ton of Sherlock Holmes novels.
Oh,
like,
cool.
It's in there. Yeah. The hotel was a big deal at the time. It was the first in London to get I almost said American Express.
What?
It's not even close to that. I wrote AC, like air conditioning, but I looked at it and said American Express.
They were the first to get American Express points before it even existed.
I swear I only have been drinking coffee and eating chips.
Yeah, she like doesn't even partake.
I don't. So as crazy as I sound right now.
Not that I'm shit faced right now.
No, but it could come off that way. They also were the first people to get hydraulic elevators at the hotel. So cool. It was like a big deal.
Also kind of scary though, because I don't think I would want to be the first person to try out a hydraulic
elevator. Probably not.
Or the fifth, really, for that matter.
Definitely not. So while watching Sam and Colby's channel and their experience in there, they pointed out, because I was like, I got to see inside this place, and thank you, Sam and Colby, for showing me
that there are
Sam and Colby, let's go. They showed me that there are a lot of what they kept referring to as vortexes in this hotel.
Ooh.
A lot of mirrors facing other mirrors.
Not a good plan.
A lot of them in the rooms, a lot of them in the hallways. There's like a continuous staircase of vortexes that they were just losing their shit over.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that might be bad.
Are they trying to conjure some shit up in there?
Maybe. And I have read in a bunch of sources that a lot of people have like super like crazy temperature changes in this hotel. They'll get really hot, but they'll get really cold, but most of the time it's really hot,
so you need and your people, ember like, wave
nippy, you need your ember wave. Wow, that's a callback. But they can't get comfortable. People like end up having to go outside to like get air. Yeah, and it's like not because of anything the hotel's doing.
It's the ghosts.
It's the ghosties is what I feel. It's the demons.
Yes.
So they were also feeling this in the middle of the night. They were like, why is it so hot in here? And I was like, I don't know, Sam and Colby, why?
And I said, so hot right now.
I also read about people getting bad headaches sometimes in certain rooms, like room 333, which tends to be the most haunted room. That
I
is the room.
Why?
Because 333 is supposedly like associated with like bad shit.
Lame.
So there you go. A lot of them woke up. In Sam and Colby's video, they all had headaches. They all kept getting headaches. And I was like, I believe you.
Headaches.
I believe you.
Give me headaches.
This is 100% true. I'm worried for you if you need an Excedrin migraine. I have one.
Oh, nice.
But don't worry. One of them gave each. They shared an ibuprofen and it was adorable.
Was that the moment where you're like, these are my people?
I was like, these are my people. Migraines. I get it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that was it. I was like, let's have migraines together.
Yay.
So that's interesting. And I was like, whoa, okay. Then I found an article that said the England cricket team in 2004 stayed at this hotel as a team, and they were haunted as fuck while they were there.
Oh, no.
Several of them requested that their rooms be changed out sometime in the middle of the night.
Ooh.
Some of their wives, girlfriends, partners literally stopped. They would refuse to stay in the hotel. They were like, no, I'm not doing it.
That's scary.
A guy named Stuart Broad, who was on the team, said the room was so hot and he couldn't sleep because of it. He was feeling so uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, in the middle of the night, the faucets in the bathroom turned on. Like, squeaked on. Which they can't just, like, it's not like it's electric and can just turn on. You have to squeak the faucets on.
It's not electric, boogie, oogie, oogie.
Not electric. And he turned on the lights, and as soon as he did that, they squeaked off.
Ooh.
And he turned them back off. They squeaked back on again.
Squeaky, squeaky.
So he was like, no. So he ran out of there. He was like, fuck that. And he changed rooms. He ended up sleeping with a teammate in like a twin room.
Let's face it, we all have problems with our skin from time to time. You know, I get those like chin breakouts every now and again, especially with wearing the masks for a while. We all get breakouts, you get blackheads, you get it all, and it stinks and we don't want it. And that's exactly why there's Curology. Curology is a game-changing custom skincare routine made for you by a dermatology provider. They'll create a custom prescription cream for your specific goals, whether that's tackling acne, clogged pores, skin texture, dark spots, fine lines, anything else. If it's on your skin, they can do it. You start by taking a short online skin quiz and uploading photos, and if it's a good fit, then they're going to ship the formula right to your door. It even has your name on the bottle. I've been using Curology for literally 2 years at this point, and actually a lot of you have been complimenting my skin on Instagram lately, so like thanks a lot for that. It's all thanks to Curology. All the little breakouts that I was having before and like, you know, the fine lines and everything, they're all gone. I feel like a brand new gal. And it's super easy. You just upload some pictures of yourself. The other thing is that they just make the process so easy. My shipment gets delivered to my door. I get to pick how often I get it. So, you know, like sometimes you'll have a little bit of extra lingering around. You're like, you know, I'll skip that shipment next month, but comes right to your door. Again, name is on the bottle. How freaking cute is that? And it's just a super easy, easy thing to use and implement into your routine. And also the moisturizer that they sent me, my skin is glowing. Shout out to Curology. Get started with Curology just like I did, with a free 30-day trial at Curology.com/morbid. Just pay $5 for shipping and handling. That's Curology.com/morbid to start your free 30-day trial. Cancel anytime. Prescription subject to a consultation.
Now, apparently, if you look back on some ghosty ghost stories, a doctor is said to have murdered his brand new bride in room 333.
Why is it always a dead bride?
And it's always a doctor. It's always
you're not wrong.
No, after he killed her, he killed himself, apparently.
Oh.
So there was some stuff going on. It was their honeymoon. It was bad.
It was like Ready or Not.
It was. Now, his ghost is a man that can be seen wearing Victorian attire. He has very dead eyes, according to reports. And he only trolls about during the month of October.
My favorite thing is that they're like, this dead man has dead eyes.
Dead eyes. He's not like lively and like, hello.
He's not living.
He has dead eyes. And he only walks around. He's only seen in October.
I kind of love that about him.
Frankly, I don't blame him. If I had the option to only be seen in October, I also would take that option.
October and June. Let's
do it. Yeah, that's it. So a BBC announcer, James Alexander Gordon, actually was someone who brought this story forward in 1973 when he moved in that room.
Mm.
He was just like briefly staying in that room. But he was the one who came out. He said in October of that year, in the middle of the night, he woke up to a strange feeling. He then saw at the end of his bed a ball of light. So he watched it thinking like, am I really seeing this? Probably like all of us when we have sleep paralysis demons. I know I always am like, is this real?
Yeah.
Am I really looking at this? Then the ball of light started changing and forming into a shape. And suddenly it was changing into the shape of a man, but his calves were missing.
What?
Below the knee, just gone. Just floating there.
Oh, no.
He was the doctor, apparently, wearing evening wear from the Victorian period. And they just stared at each other.
Where did his shins and calves and feet go?
I'm not sure.
Alrighty.
So basically it was like, and I looked at him.
And he looked at me. And I looked at him. And he looked at me.
That was what was going on.
What a harmony.
But for real, he then just screamed, what do you want? Because he was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah.
But then the ghost began to move towards him with his arms outstretched.
Get away from me.
And he was done.
I'm going to mace you,
motherfucker. James got out of there. He fucking ran out of there.
Yeet.
Apparently, he ran into the lobby. This is in the middle of the night, basically in a blind panic, and asked if, like, a hotel clerk would just accompany him back to the room, because he was like, well, sir, I just saw a shinless ghost appear at the foot of my bed. And this guy was like, no, thank you, sir. I don't want to accompany you back up to that bedroom.
Why would you even go back up there?
So he went back up alone because he said his wallet was up there, like everything. He couldn't go anywhere. He was like, I have to get my wallet. It's on my bedside table. And he said the ghost was still fucking there when he went back to the room.
What?
He said it was fading and didn't feel as threatening, and it didn't even look at him when he came in the room. But he said it was still there. I got chills just saying that.
I did too.
And he told his colleagues at the BBC the next day, he was like, fucking, I gotta tell you what my night was.
And did they loll so hard?
No, several of them who had stayed there, because at this point the BBC owned the hotel and like people would stay there. A lot of them said, I saw that too.
What?
And thought I was crazy.
Oh, I have tingles.
To which I say, like, what a team building exercise this was.
I know, you will be the best bonded team.
Bonded for life.
For eons.
Now, apparently there's also a ghost that appears that has a giant gnarly wound on his face, like right in the middle of his face.
Is he okay?
I picture that ballerina with all the teeth in Cabin in the Woods. I don't know why. That's the first thing I think of.
Yeah.
But he just likes to walk around the hallways. I don't think he really does a whole lot.
Let him.
And I say, if you see him, just let him walk.
Top of the morning to you, sir.
He's taking a stroll. Let him have it.
Hello.
He's missing part of his face. So, yeah. Just give him a moment.
He deserves a stroll.
Now, you may also feel a German prince manifest as a spirit here.
What does that feel like?
Feels cold. There's a temperature change.
Okay.
You can often find him standing in a window on the fourth floor. That was very Boston. I'm sorry, fourth.
Fourth floor?
Fourth floor. Just staring. He's just staring. Aww. And he's said to have jumped to his death out of the fourth floor window of the hotel, and now he just can't leave.
Oh.
And he's described as literally in every source I saw, and these were at least 3 or 4 sources, I saw this one description was either described as hefty or beefy.
Rude and ruder.
Which I was like, whoa, never described a ghost that way.
No.
He apparently has cropped hair and a military type jacket with a high neck. He looks very distinguished.
All right.
This beefy man. And he likes to jump or he likes to just walk through, not jump. He likes to walk through doors.
I mean, I would too if I was a ghost.
But right into rooms through the door. So be careful when you're just hanging out in the buff, because he could just walk through your door and be like, hello there.
I would say.
Oh. But in German. He's extremely active and he's seen a lot. He likes the attention. He's an attention one.
He's a Gemini ghost.
He probably is. Now, apparently the Emperor Napoleon III lived at the hotel for a time during his exile.
What?
And he just chills in the basement. No.
All right.
We'll see him. And in room 333, again, back to room 333, it has a ghost that will just wait until you're asleep and then try to either throw you or tip you out of the bed by shaking it violently.
No.
Yeah.
I once lived in an apartment where my bed would shake.
Mm.
That feeling, you hear that in so many paranormal stories,
yeah.
But that feeling when you actually feel that is absolutely fucking terrifying.
Because, you're vulnerable.
Yeah, and your bed is shaking.
And what are you supposed to do?
And you were just so relaxed a minute ago.
You were.
You were sleeping, so. God, I can, feel that.
Now, one guest literally ran from the whole ass hotel in the middle of the night because it was so intense of a shake from this wily spirit that she was I'm out. Now, also, this happened to Sam and Colby while they were there, too.
Their bed shook us?
I believe it was Colby. I think you were wearing a striped shirt, Colby. You were in the bed and you said, I feel it shaking.
Just let us know during our collab.
One of you, during our collab, you can let us know.
During the time when we ghost hunt with you ghost hunters.
It's going to happen. So, you can let me know if it was you in the bed or not.
You know, it's actually funny. 333 is actually about manifestation. So we're just manifesting right now.
We're just manifesting here. So there's also a Victorian footman who is wearing a powdered wig and it's very fancy. And he just hangs out in the library.
Distinguished.
He will sit in a very cold spot, though. It's the whole room doesn't become cold. You'll just walk through and you're like, ooh, cold spot. And that's when he's top of the morning.
Handy for a hot flash.
You know, there's also a butler who's on the third floor. He's just walking around and he stays on the third floor just doing his business. He is said to be wearing socks with a lot of holes in them. I don't know why. He's just still working, though, so he's just trying to make your fucking stay beautiful.
Maybe leave him out some new socks.
Just be nice to him, okay?
Give him some wool socks. It sounds pretty cold in there.
Please do, because he's just trying to do his job still.
And he should be able to do so comfortably.
He's just making your stay great.
Can you fucking imagine if you were a butler, and you didn't really like it, and then you just had to do that for the rest of your whole goddamn existence?
No.
Fuck a whole bunch of that.
No, thank you. Fuck that really hard. No.
So hard. No.
That's the Langham Hotel. And
I like that you ended on the butler with holy socks.
Yeah, it felt right.
That's pretty fantastic.
It did feel right.
Sorry. I squeaked my mic.
You squeaked.
I squeaked my mic. We got a new desk and I'm trying to figure out how to look at my computer, also look at Elena and talk into my microphone. Life is hard. Thanks for asking.
It is hard.
So I'm taking us all the way to Hollywood?
Hollywood?
Hollywood.
Hollywood.
I bet that's shocking. I'm going to take us to the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, which is located in Hollywood.
Hollywood?
California.
There you go.
All right, so the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, it is located at 7000 Hollywood Boulevard, and it's actually Los Angeles' longest-running hotel.
Look at that.
Fun fact.
I made my ex-boyfriend take me there when we went there.
Okay, I thought you had been there.
Yep.
I thought so.
Yeah, I was I want to go there. Marilyn stayed there.
Did you look at any mirrors?
I didn't.
Well,
Its doors were first opened on May 15th, 1927, and throughout the years, pretty much anybody who is anybody in Hollywood has stayed there.
Ooh.
We had, back in the day, Mary Pickford. I've talked about her a ton. She actually was one of the hotel's founders.
Oh, okay.
Marilyn Monroe stayed there, like you said, Clark Gable, and then more recently, like super big stars like Beyonce, Jay-Z, Prince, R.I.P. before his death, and of course, my girl Lilo have been spotted there.
Of course.
Yeah. And I think if the walls at the Roosevelt could talk, they would definitely tell you that they have seen their fair share of cool shit. Shirley Temple supposedly had her first tap dancing lesson at this hotel.
My God.
Which is like wild. Errol Flynn tested out his first batch of bathtub bootleg gin.
Yeah, he did.
And he did it in a barber shop in the back of the hotel, like in a bathtub.
That's amazing.
I was like, why was there a bathtub in a barber shop?
Why not?
Don't ask questions, he said. And also, I thought this was super duper cool. The hotel actually hosted the first ever Academy Awards / Oscars.
That's cool.
How crazy is that?
That is cool.
And the first ceremony was like super short. I saw in one source that it was 5 minutes long, and then I saw in another that it was 15 minutes long.
Either way, probably better than what's happening today.
Yeah, it's far too long.
So.
And they only handed out 13 awards at the first one.
They were very choosy.
They were. I think, you know, bring it back. And if that wasn't cool enough, this place is said to be haunted by the ghost of the one, the only,
the queen,
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn.
So Marilyn actually did her first debut photo shoot by the pool at the Roosevelt, which is
called
the Tropicana.
Yeah, it is.
Which I love. And some of the most famous photos of her are on the diving board. Some people say that she was selling toothpaste. Others say sunscreen. Either way, protective substances for your teeth or skin.
And either way, I'm buying it.
I'm buying whatever Marilyn is selling. Yeah. Now, when she officially moved out to California, the Roosevelt was actually her official residence. She lived there for almost 2 years.
Damn.
And her one request, maybe there was more than one, but like I like to represent her as a humble queen.
Of course.
Her one request was that a full-length mirror be placed in her room.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Because I get it.
Fit checks are important, okay? Now, I can only personally imagine how much time she spent looking in that mirror, like getting ready and shit.
If I looked like Marilyn Monroe, I would look in the mirror all day.
I would actually
never stop.
I would have never been in a movie because I'd just be sitting and looking at myself.
Yeah.
Full-blown narcissism.
Truth.
Right here. I love it. But yeah, I feel like she spent a lot of time looking in that mirror, which would make sense because she haunts that fucking mirror to this day.
Wow.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
She's also been seen wandering around the hotel, like outside of the mirror and inside of her favorite rooms that she actually stayed at while she was living there. Room 229, book it. Suite 1200, book it. Or over the pool in one of the cabanas, 246.
Okay, I'm booking all of them.
Let's book every single one. Now, it said that housekeeping workers were the first to see her reflection in the mirror, and it was while they were cleaning one of those rooms.
Ooh.
This woman was kind of, you know, like maybe Windexing the mirror, dusting it, I don't know. And all of a sudden, she's like, oh, there's this very sad-looking blonde woman. She must be behind me, because that's how mirrors work. So she turned around, and she was like, let me help this sad-looking blonde woman. But there was no sad-looking blonde woman to be found.
Because that was Marilyn.
So she looked back in the mirror, and the woman is still there, still sad, still blonde.
Aww.
And that's when she realized that she was looking at Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, my God. I would be like, oh, my God, I know I probably only have a second to say something to you, but, like,
I love you.
I wouldn't even know what to say.
It would be like when I met Andrew McMahon from Jack's Mannequin, and I would literally spend the entire time in line thinking of what to say to the man, and then I get in line, and I literally just blurt out, I love you.
It's true.
It was the most embarrassing moment of my life. Thanks for being there.
There's photographic proof of it somewhere.
There is. But, yeah, there's other variations of the story, but that's, like, the one that's most often shared around. So once people started talking about spotting one of Hollywood's most famous stars inside a fucking mirror, people wanted to get their hands on said mirror. They were trying to summon Miss Monroe for themselves.
Yeah.
So for that reason, the staff at the hotel, they were like, oh, fuck, that's going to get the people coming. I mean, we had the first Oscars here, and now we have a mirror that shows Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I'd come.
So they put it downstairs by the elevators, and apparently they put two big pictures of Marilyn on the wall opposite it. So, like, technically, they're not lying. She's always in the mirror.
You're gonna see her.
You are gonna see her. It was then eventually moved next to the gift shop, and now it's said to be in storage somewhere.
Oh, like, that's fake.
Why would you? Ah, that's fake.
That's fucked
why
up.
Would you just get rid of that mirror?
No, you wouldn't. Can I have it?
I don't think they did. I feel like they just like put it in a random bedroom.
And I don't know, maybe we'll have to wait and hear from the guest who finds Marilyn next.
Also, if it's in storage, like, I want it.
I need
Can
it.
I have it?
Yeah.
It's Can a you really, just give it to
it's
me?
It's a really pretty mirror, too.
Yeah, I want it.
It's like dark wood and everything.
Oh, give me it.
Okay. I'll call someone.
Thank you.
So, but Marilyn is actually not the only celebrity who haunts the Hollywood Roosevelt. Four-time Oscar nominee Montgomery Clift is also said to haunt not only room 928, but actually the entire ninth floor.
Whoa, look at him.
Now, if you're not aware of who this man is, he was a very famous actor between the 40s and the 60s, best known for The Misfits, A Place in the Sun, and the movie that he was filming while staying at the Roosevelt, From Here to Eternity.
Ooh.
Which is, like, really creepy once you realize that he actually does seem to be spending the entirety of his eternity at the hotel.
Ooh, I would hate that.
Yeah, so while he was working on the movie, he would pace the halls of the ninth floor just repeating his lines over and over again. And to this day, people say they hear low mumbles on the ninth floor while they're in the hallway. And sometimes they feel like somebody's bumped into them or brushed up against them.
Ooh.
So they're like, could that be him, like, still pacing the hallways? And he's also said to still mess with the radio and the heat settings to let people know that he's lurking.
I love it.
So, you know, if you're visiting the ninth floor and your room gets a little toasty, just ask Monty to turn the heat back down.
Monty, take it down.
Take it down.
Take it down a notch.
And while you're at it, you also might have to ask him to stop playing the music so loud, but he's not going to. Because guests who stay at the hotel to this day, again, still hear him practicing his trumpet all around the ninth floor.
Oh, damn. And I wish you guys could have seen that Ash did a little trumpet move with her shoulders, too.
I shimmied.
Yeah, shimmied while playing a phantom trumpet.
Air trumpet.
Air trumpet over here.
It's the new air guitar. Spread it like wildfire.
There you go, Rufus.
But apparently the years of practice haven't really helped him so much because it's not so good.
Oh, I'm sorry, Monty.
I know. He actually had a really sad life. He, like, got into a car accident and actually became, like, disabled and, like, hurt his face and all this stuff.
Poor Montgomery.
He had a really, really sad life.
But I'm going to be honest. I get overstimulated with a lot of noise, so...
Me too.
I'm going to need you to take it down.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now, the next two celebs who are said to haunt the place are Clark Gable and Carol Lombard.
No big deal.
Casual.
Who are they?
Well, while they were alive and after they were married, they decided to spend their honeymoon at the hotel in the penthouse suite on the 12th floor. Now, apparently there's a belief held by a lot of people in the paranormal world that ghosts will go back to a place or a time where they were the happiest, which seems to be the case here because Carol and Clark still hang out on the 12th floor.
Stop.
And they also hang out in the Blossom Room. And the Blossom Room is actually the banquet hall where they held the first Oscars. So it makes sense that these actors are drawn to it. Hello?
Of course. I believe it.
Now, down in that room, guests have actually reported this one spot in the Blossom Room where it's impossible to get or to stay warm. And it's like a super crazy cold spot that is about 30 inches in diameter.
Whoa.
Which is like pretty big.
Yeah.
And they say it's freezing cold. Most of the time, the temperature in that one single area is at least 10 degrees colder than the rest of the room.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That's weird.
There's also just a random man in a top hat that sits in the room that, like, nobody claims him.
Nobody claims him.
They don't know him.
Whose man's is this?
He's just lurking. They think he's, like, some actor that may have, like, been in a movie and tuned into the Oscars, but...
Oh, man. Poor guy in a top hat.
Just stays lurking.
Hmm.
And then there's also another little ghost girl who wanders around in a blue dress looking for her mom.
Oh, I'll help her.
Isn't that so sad?
Oh, that's really sad.
You're like, I'll be your mom.
I'll be your mom, little ghost girl.
Now, Janice Oberding, sorry if I said that wrong.
Oberding.
Oberding, yeah, I was just setting up excitement.
Yeah.
She's an author, and she has a theory as to why so many celebs still hang out around the Roosevelt. In her book, The Big Book of California Ghost Stories, which if you don't buy that, you're stupid, she says that, quote, perhaps being a celebrity means never having to leave the party.
I love that quote.
I love it so much.
Such a good quote.
Put that in one of those, like, light things that Gen Z loves.
That Gen Z loves.
You know?
One of those light things.
I want one of those light things.
It's got to say something completely innocuous, though. It should say something so lame.
I know if I got one, you know what it would say? I would hang it in my living room. Guess what it would say?
Something I don't know.
So silly. Farts. What if you just got, like, this beautiful pink light?
That would be amazing.
And, like, in beautiful... Sorry, I stepped on a chip bag. And that's who I am. In beautiful pink cursive lettering, it just says, farts.
Please get that.
And like you have to look at it for a second to see what it says.
Understand.
Yeah, like Ma would come over my house and be like, fairy farts? Farts? And then she'd question how she raised me.
Please do that. How do you get one of those?
We gotta
get
one. You can order them on Etsy.
Let's order one.
We're going to go to the P.O. box and there's going to be like 9 that just say farts. We can make a fart wall.
Oh my God.
That's all I've ever dreamed of.
That's all you've ever dreamed of. Please don't do that. No, I don't want that. But you can do it. I want you to do it in your home.
Farts.
I need you to do it in your
home. I'll do it in my office.
In your actual home. It needs to be in your living room.
Okay. I got to talk to Drew.
All right. I think Drewcifer will be into it.
He's a farty boy, so.
So something I actually realized I do a lot, and I'm not going to do it anymore, is I will scarf down my whole plate of food and I'm like, oh God, I feel horrible afterwards because I wasn't hungry for the entire plate. Did anybody else have to finish their whole plate of dinner before they could get up from the table or get dessert? Because hello, me, childhood, hello, it happened. And now I'm still doing it in my adulthood and I don't need to. We all get stuck in cycles for different reasons, and sometimes we don't even know the reasons. But Noom Weight uses psychology to help you understand the whys behind your eating habit, so you can break unhealthy cycles for good and make more intentional choices. You will also have plenty of support to achieve and maintain lasting results. With Noom, the coaches, if you've ever gotten to talk to one, they're super duper friendly. Like if you need help with anything or, you know, just like a piece of advice, they're there to help you out. And they get to you back. They got back to me pretty quickly whenever I asked my question. The thing about using Noom is like, I don't feel bad if I have a bad day because it's all about the psychology behind why you're making the choices that you're making. So I feel like lately I'm understanding why I'm doing certain things. Like if I'm super stressed out, I'm like, oh, let me go to the snack jar and have like 8 cookies about it. That's not a good choice, Ash. Have 1 cookie. It's not going to hurt you, but like you don't need 8. With their psychology first approach, Noom Weight empowers you to build more sustainable habits and behaviors. And you know what? Every journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. And I find that that's not always the case with other things like this. But this program is based on specific scientific principles like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT for my therapy people, and it helps you understand your relationship with food. 95% of customers say that Noom Weight is a good long-term solution, and I'm among that 95%. Active Noomers lose an average of 15 pounds in 16 weeks. Noom's weight approach is grounded in science. They've published more than 30 peer-reviewed scientific articles that inform users, practitioners, scientists, and the public about their methods and effectiveness. Break the cycle with motivation and support from Noom's weight psychology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at noom.com/morbid. That is noom.com/morbid to sign up for your trial today.
All right, so moving on from that, my next one is the Ben Lomond Sweets in Ogden, Utah.
Utah.
So I go from London to Utah.
That's just like fitting in a weird way.
Way to turn.
I don't know. It just makes sense.
Felt right. I felt like I was spending too much time across the pond. I had to come back for a minute.
You wanted to stop at Beauty Lab and Laser?
What?
Can't tell you.
I don't know what that is.
Housewives.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that is.
I was like, I really don't know what it is.
Let me in on the secret.
Oh, man. Well, these were built in 1927, and it was one of 3 grand hotels in Utah.
Oh!
I picked grand hotels, and I didn't even mean to. So where this hotel was actually the site of 2 previous hotels before it.
They tried.
They gave it their best shot, but a lot went down there. So the first one was the Reed, which was built in 1891, and it was 5 stories, pretty cool hotel. Pretty decent. But apparently 3 days before the hotel even opened to the public, the brother-in-law of the owner, his name was William B. Steele, he just up and died from tuberculosis in one of the rooms on the bed.
Yeah, I bet that happened a lot back then.
Whoops. And apparently there was eight.
Whoops. That's died not of tuberculosis. Good.
Whoops. There was eight more deaths after this in the hotel.
Oh, no.
Now, September 1921, a new chef at the hotel fell down an elevator shaft to their death. Ooh. Their name was Asuki Nakone, I believe it is. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. Apparently the elevator came up. They just stepped in while not looking. And there was the car had not come up with it, so they just fell down the shaft.
That is my biggest fear.
It happens a
lot.
Weirdly a lot, too.
Even still.
Yeah, I hate elevators. I really do
not like elevators. I've gotten stuck in an elevator before, and it was the scariest experience.
Nope. No.
Horrible.
Didn't you get stuck in an elevator and somebody threw up?
Yeah, I got stuck in an elevator at Boston College, and I mean, it's very evident why I got stuck in the elevator. I chose to go on one with like 30 people in it, which was really stupid. But yeah, a girl had a panic attack and threw up. Another girl couldn't find her inhaler. Oh my Somebody God. Was smoking weed in there. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
I would lose my damn mind.
Yeah, and then firefighters had to come and like lift us all up, and I was not 21 at the time, and was like, I had scared. To get out of there. I had to get out of there.
Moral of the story, I had to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Oh, and my phone got I lost my phone in the elevator. And then we had to go to the dining hall after we like ditched the firefighters, and this super nice girl came over to me, and because I think I was like in my background picture with someone else, and she was like, is this your phone? And I was like, it is my phone, and I got my phone back.
That was a great story.
I mean, it was. it was a story about kindness and not stealing.
It was. It had a message.
It did.
It had a message. Unfortunately, these elevators are terrible. So another, the moral of the story, elevators suck.
Yeah, they do.
Now, another guest was Helen Van Allen, and she was staying long-term in the hotel with her husband, and she shot herself in room 1902, and her husband and a bellhop found her.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's very sad.
Now, the Reed was demolished in 1926 when a big banker bought it and decided to make his own hotel on the site. The hotel that was built in 1927, the following year, was the Bigelow / it became the Ben, you know, Lomond Suites.
Gotcha, gotcha. Also, I just love that he's like, a hotel already exists here, but I'm actually going to knock it down. I'm going to build A hotel
over this. And he's like, I'm going to make it bigger.
You can't just renovate the one you have.
And you know what? This hotel was a wild place.
Really?
It was in 1927, and it was where the Roaring Twenties were definitely the Roaring Twenties.
Mm-hmm. Like, and like
gangsters, bootlegging, like all that stuff was going on here.
Very Gatsby-esque.
There was a tunnel under the hotel that was used to smuggle alcohol.
Fuck yeah.
But was also a tunnel that would lead into other parts of the town and city where like a nefarious and like sinister dealings were going on.
Obsessed.
Like all kinds of like
obsessed.
Just things of the night, basically.
Let's go.
Yeah. They apparently cemented it shut. The city.
Why
did.
The fuck would you do that?
Because I think it just was gonna lead to a lot of nefarious things.
Fun.
Yeah, like fun ruiner city of Ogden. Yeah,
fun sucker.
But you know, there it goes. So March 9th, 1929, actually, a guy named Edward Spellman was killed there. Like murdered. And here's the story. This was during it, and there's like newspaper articles for this. There was this was during the Utah Canners Association convention, which sounds wild.
I feel like we've talked about canners.
I think
associations
we have.
Before.
Yeah, I feel like we have. A man named Dan Rowland invited some of his fellow canners to the room upstairs where he was staying in to have some like pregame beers and drinks.
We love a pregame.
And just, you know, like be men. But then, you know, it was up on the 12th floor. They all just hung out. Some ladies and wives came in and out during this whole thing, drinking with them. They all hung out for a while, went back downstairs to the ballroom where the whole like party and shindig was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the men who was with them was his friend and colleague, Edward Spellman. They were all now back in the ballroom, and he suddenly excuses himself and goes back upstairs. So Dan Rowland is a little suspicious. He's like, why are you going back up to my room?
Yeah, like we just
left. Did you forget something? So he goes back up to check on him, and he finds that Edward was in the room. And it was because one of his other colleagues' wives had passed out drunk on the bed, and he was assaulting her.
Oh, what the fuck?
So Dan went in there, and he ripped him off her, and he starts, like, beating the shit out of him, because he's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
And he ends up throwing him into the hallway. They're fighting, like, scuffle, scuffle, scuffle. And Dan lands a serious punch to Edward's face, knocks him into the wall hard, and he dies.
Damn.
Boom, dead. Now, he died from a ruptured artery, which is like an aneurysm.
Oh, shit.
Now, Roland was apparently charged with murder for this, but was acquitted later because they figured out he had died from the aneurysm and not the punch, and they could not determine that the aneurysm was caused by anything else but natural causes. It was just a weird coincidence.
Divine intervention.
Whoa. Now, check out this website, werewolves.com, by the way.
Werewolves?
Werewolves. I'll link it in the show notes. They just had a lot of information on this, and they had like other paranormal stuff on there too that was really interesting. So just wanted to point that out. Now, in the Bigelow Ben Lomond Hotel in 1939, two men, Glenn Jackson and Elmo G. Chapman, arrived at the hotel one day. They were belligerent and angry, and they weren't staying in the hotel, and they were kind of arguing with the staff. And then they just walked into the elevator and took it up to the top floor. So the manager sees them, tries to follow them, and she kind of like corrals them at some point and is like, I'm getting security, you need to leave. Mm-hmm. When she's getting security, they run off back to the top floor, and then they both apparently jumped out the window together off the top floor of the building.
What?
Later it was discovered they had just both lost their jobs.
Oh.
There's newspaper articles for this one too. This is real.
How sad is that?
Because you know how sometimes with like hauntings and stuff, you're like, I had this story, but like there's nothing really. There's so many articles for this one.
It's funny that you're finding all these articles. Like, my next one, I was like, I tried to find it.
I tried, but I could not find it. And it's so sad. There's like a lot of suicides at this hotel.
Yeah.
Now, in July 16th, 1951, a teacher, Donna Anderson, she was a teacher like locally for 20 plus years. She jumped from the ninth floor to her death. Aww. And according to an article from the Deseret News, she was found first by her friend on the ninth floor.
Oh God!
And she hadn't jumped yet, but she had slashed her wrists.
Oh.
And her friend tried to help her, and she pushed past her friend and ran and dove out the window.
Oh God!
No one knows the exact reason, but she was having health problems recently, and people think it may have been worse than she was letting on, and she just.
Oh, I can't imagine being that friend too. And like, I can't, like, obviously, like, the survivor's guilt.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, I can't imagine. I also encourage you to check out History Goes Bump in the Night blog because there's a lot of cool information on there too. I'll link it in the show notes. Now, August 24th, 1976, so we're in the 70s now. Johnny Perez, who was a 15-year-old boy at the time, came into the hotel to rob it.
Oh.
And in the middle of everything, he's trying to rob the clerk at the front desk, who was a guy named Henry Topping Jr. He was 65 years old.
Are you kidding me?
In the process of trying to rob him, he ended up stabbing him 44 times. Jesus. And killed him. So he was like charged with first degree murder. He's in prison.
I mean, yeah.
Now, people still feel like they can sense Henry, the clerk, in the lobby, and staff say he turns on the music over the speakers a lot. And like, apparently he was like a music lover, so they think that's him. Now, the elevator at the new hotel acts crazy.
Don't get in it.
Yeah. It moves independently of being summoned. It will like stop and just open clothes. Like, it's working totally on its own volition. And they've had like elevator repair people come out and check it, and they're like, nothing's wrong with this elevator. Like, nothing is wrong with it. So
there's so much wrong with it, though.
It's ghosties. That's it.
Who are you going to call?
But there's also these stories about a woman who died in one of the rooms, 1101. She drowned in the bathtub. Sometimes people say it was after she got married. I don't know if that's the truth.
Always.
It's usually a bride.
I think it was a bride.
It was just a woman. We know that. And later, her distraught son came to gather her things from the hotel. And just like, he was like very upset. So he stayed in the room next to that room where she died. And it was 1102. And he got so upset and was so depressed while he was staying there that he ended up killing himself in that room next to the room. So now in those two rooms, people feel like really heavy, weird vibes. And also the water in the tub will just turn on and start filling by itself. And if you take a bath in there, sometimes you'll feel hands like pressing on you, like pushing you.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That
it was, it's crazy. And I saw in a couple of sources, people who had stayed there were like, no, I felt it. Like, no. I felt like someone was pushing me out of the tub.
No.
Yeah.
I never take a bath at a hotel.
No. People also hear a man and a woman talking like a radio almost in rooms. Like they'll feel like they hear a radio and they're like, what is that? But it's just like hearing voices talking to each other.
Oh.
Like disembodied. People will also smell perfume, especially lilac perfume, which was a favorite of the wife of the original owner. So they think she's just walking around, checking out everything, making sure everything's going well.
I always love a perfume haunt.
We love a perfume.
We grew up with a perfume haunt.
I was going to say, in my house, you could always smell Chanel No. 5 because that was the perfume that my grandmother wore. And you can smell it when you're like stressed out and it'll calm you.
Luxury, baby.
Always luxury will calm you. There are also a lot of temperature issues in this hotel as well.
Always.
A lot of cold spots, the places that like just will not get warm. They are always cold no matter what. But many guests will hear like disembodied voices in the middle of the night walking by their doors as well. And they'll be like, huh, like I didn't think anybody was on this floor or something. And they'll peek out and no one's around.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Staff gets calls in the lobby from room 1106 often, and they'll check and see that no one is staying in that room.
Mm.
And no one ever talks when they answer they'll like answer the phone and nobody will say anything, and then it just hangs up.
I hate it.
And no one's in the room. And there's this tale where they think it's this mother who was staying in the hotel during World War II, and her son was a soldier, and she got a call that he was killed in battle. And she, like, died of a broken heart in that room.
Oh.
Isn't that sad?
So many residual hauntings.
So many. And the last thing that will happen is security guards will pass by rooms and they'll hear noises in the empty room. Go to check it out. No, but nothing's in there. And they're like, okay. And they'll go shut the door. And as they walk away, the door handles will, like, violently shake.
No.
Yeah. And they're like, no, thank you.
Ugh.
Yeah, so that is the Ben Lomond Suites in Ogden, Utah.
Sure is.
Which was two other hotels before it and not good.
And not good.
Not great. I mean, it's great. Like, go stay there if you want to. It's fine.
Yeah, stay
there. But, like, a lot of shit happened there.
Yeah, fun.
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 Fun for haunts.
Thank you.
Yeah, for paranormal investigations.
Thank you.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. We got to start taking care of our minds the way that we're taking care of everybody else and our cars and our skin and our house. You know, you got to take care of what's at the center of it all, you. Because how we care for our minds affects how we experience life. We want to have a good experience while we're here, don't we? Yeah. So it's important to invest time and care into keeping our brains and our noggins healthy. There's plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like learning a new language, taking power naps, having some self-care time. That's my personal favorite. But there's also BetterHelp online therapy. I am such a big advocate for therapy. I think that literally everybody should be in therapy, because just having like that 1 hour a week, or maybe every other week if you don't have the time for every week, but you should make the time, you know what I mean? Make the time for yourself. But anyways, just having that hour of uninterrupted time to vent about what's going on in your life, hello, doesn't that just sound amazing? And it's gonna feel amazing. And BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat only therapy sessions. So you don't have to see anybody on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/morbid. That's betterhelp.com/morbid.
I know that we're like really good friends now, but I don't know if what are their names?
Your
Sam
friends?
And Colby, if they
have
done
friend
it yet.
You are, bud.
I don't know if they have gone there, but if you have, I'll go find your video because
we can ask them
now.
When we do our
Oh yeah, I forgot we'll ask when we do our
Yeah, perfect. We'll also have to ask them if they have ever gone to Hotel Savoy and Grill in Kansas City.
and Grill.
It is also a grill.
It's also a grill.
It's actually not anymore. And now it's called the 21C Museum Hotel because it's different.
Ooh, because it's different.
It's different. But either way, it's said to be incredibly motherfucking haunted.
I'm ready.
So this original hotel opened up in 1888.
Ooh.
Does that year sound familiar to you?
I don't know, just the year that Jack the Ripper was doing his thing.
Yeah, creepy.
Just that.
Also, because it opened like so long ago, it is the oldest running hotel west of the Mississippi.
Good for it.
And I had a lot of fun writing out MISSI PPI. Thank you. So these days, it actually houses guests for short stays and also features apartments for people who are interested in staying a little more long term.
All right.
So some of those tenants, like especially from the apartments, have stories that will give your chill bumps.
They'll curl your toenails.
Yuck. Now, reportedly, the most haunted room is room 505. Ooh. So you came for my number. I'm coming for yours.
There you go.
Now, a woman named Betsy Ward is said to have died in the room while she was staying there, either in like the late 1800s or the very early 1900s. I did check newspapers.com and I could not find anything to say that a woman had been killed there, but it's a fun ghost story, so proof be damned.
And you know what? If it was in the 1800s, maybe it just wasn't reported on.
Exactly.
Thank you. So there you go.
Yeah. Now, there's like a lot of stories as to how she died or was killed. Some people think that she ended her own life in the room's bathtub.
Oh.
Other people think that she was killed by somebody who broke in. And then other people say that she actually suffered a heart attack while she was in bed sleeping.
Oh, okay.
But one thing is for sure, she haunts that damn place to this day.
Yeah, she does.
She does. So while the hotel was being renovated in the late 90s, which if you know anything about paranormal shit, you know that they don't like a renovation.
No.
And while it was being renovated, a man named Larry Freeman was living in the now apartment 505, which used to be the hotel room of the same number. So one day, Larry gets out of the shower. He turns off the water because, you know, he's done with the shower and, like, saved the fish. Closes the curtain. He's like, let's not get water everywhere. Heads to the sink. Wants to get his dental hygiene on.
Yeah.
As he's doing so, he hears the water start back up again. And he's like, the fuck? And then he looks over his shoulder and he sees that the curtain is wide open and the water is most definitely running.
Hmm.
So he goes over and he's like, maybe I'm just having like a geriatric moment and I didn't just do what I thought I did. So he turns off the water, closes the curtain, la la la, goes back, tries to brush-a. Same thing happens again.
Uh-oh.
Same thing happens again. Now, according to hauntedhomes.com, which is like a super fun website with a ton of information about
them. Oh, I saw that one too.
Haunted Homes.
Yeah.
It's really good. I've used it before.
It's a good one.
Now, according to them, Larry carried out the same steps 4 times in total before he ran the fuck out of his apartment and got a hold of the property manager, who was Sean Brines, I'm going to say. Now, it's a little unclear what Sean did to resolve this specific issue. I don't really think he specialized in, like, ghost evictions.
Probably not.
But one day, on a separate occasion, Sean was actually heading back to his own apartment, which was also on the 5th floor of the hotel, and he heard some super loud music coming from Larry's place, and he's like, Jesus, this guy's a pain in my ass. And he heard jazz music, to be more specific.
Hmm.
So anybody who knew Larry, he was like, wait, what? Anyone who knew him said Larry exclusively listened to rock and roll, and he always had any radio that he owned set to a specific station that only played rock and roll.
Hell yeah, Larry.
Larry rocks, Larry rolls.
Larry only rocks.
Yeah. So this was weird for Sean because he was like, what the hell? But he was more worried about the noise than anything. So he made like a little mental note to talk to Larry before the day ended because he had shit to do. He had to go run errands.
Yeah, you had shit to do.
Yeah. So he goes down to the lobby to head out and do a shit that he's got
to
do.
Shit to do.
And he sees Larry walk in.
Oh.
And he knows that Larry lives alone. So he's like, wait a second, what the fuck? So he's like, hey, dude, what's with the loud music coming out of your place? And when did you take a liking to jazz?
Yeah.
And Larry was like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? So the two of them head up to the apartment, knowing that they're the only two people that have keys to this apartment. And they're like, did somebody break in somehow?
And just play jazz?
And just, I mean, did like the Axeman
break
into my home?
Yeah.
So when they get in, they realize that the music wasn't coming from like where Larry usually played his music, which was a clock radio that he had. But it was actually coming from this little flick-on radio that he had next to his washer and dryer. But he didn't use it very often. And there was no way that anybody else was in that apartment. They checked and they found absolutely nothing.
Whoa.
And they were just like, I don't know what to do about this.
It's a jazz playing ghost.
It's a jazz playing ghost. Like, fuck that. I'm a rock and roll kind of guy.
Yeah.
But so Larry is like, whatever. Like, I don't know what to do about this. And I got to sleep here. So
yeah, he was like, I guess I have a roommate.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, cool. You going to pay rent, buddy?
Yeah.
But he's like, all right, let me ignore this. Whatever. So another night he's sleeping. And there's this huge, heavy, I'm pretty sure it was like made of oak, which is incredibly heavy. And it's a sliding door that separates his bedroom from the living room. So he's going to bed. He's wide asleep, I was going to say.
He's wide asleep.
He's fast asleep. And all of a sudden, he wakes up to the noise of the door sliding open because it, you know, it's like on a runner. So it's going to make that little like bunga bunga.
Yeah.
And it's heavy. So he's hearing it. And he wakes up and he literally is like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is happening? So he goes around and he searches the entire apartment, but the door is still locked to the apartment.
What?
And there was nobody in the apartment.
No.
Insane.
Get out of that apartment, Lair.
So then he starts kind of talking to his neighbors and stuff. And then he found out through a neighbor who knew the history of the hotel that 505 was reportedly super haunted because Betsy had died there.
Ah, so it's Betsy.
Yes. Now there's more stories because haunts and hotels.
Of course.
Another encounter comes from this young guy who was staying at the hotel while his friend was working in the lobby. Since she was working there, she had an apartment on the fourth floor. And I think he was like getting ready to also get an apartment there. So he was staying with her for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was like, fine to stay there. He was like, living, having a good time. He's like, cool, whatever. So his friend is down in the lobby working and her neighbor comes over and she's like, hey, lend me some sugar. I am your neighbor. I'm just kidding.
Direct quote.
She needed some sugar.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, it's just going to take me a second because like, I don't live here. So like, do you mind if I just knock on your door when I have said sugar? Like, I gotta find it.
I got to go locate sugar. Yeah. So if you don't mind.
Must locate the sug. So she was like, okay, sure. So he like locates the sugar. He makes his way back over and he's like, oh, she must have company because he hears voices coming from her apartment. So he knocks on the door and he just about shits himself when the woman answers because she did have company. She's sitting there just waiting for him to hand over the sugar. But he's too busy looking at the ghostly grayish man figure standing next to her.
Oh.
So later, he said that the man was wearing a 1930s double-breasted suit.
Hot.
And that, I know, super hot. And that he was really just like an outline almost of a person. Like, he looked like a person, but it was hard to... He was misty, you know? John Misty.
Yeah, he was misty.
So the woman sees this kid's terrified face and goes, oh, that's my dead husband, Fred. That's just Fred.
Oh, I can see you're about to shit your pants over there.
That's just my dead husband.
That's just my deceased spouse.
Don't even worry.
Next to me. It's all good.
Don't worry. That's a man I buried in the ground years ago.
Just Fred.
Don't freak out.
Calm down. Give me my sugar.
It's just my dead husband.
Wow.
That's why you don't do people favors.
That's great.
No, I'm kidding.
That's great. So
the guy, for some reason, actually still continued, ending up getting his own apartment there. Just one floor below the fourth floor where the woman had introduced him to dead Fred.
Dead Fred.
And it seems like dead Fred actually took a liking to this poor kid.
Sick.
All of a sudden, this kid's room would get like super duper cold at night. And he'd be like, okay, Fred, like, calm down.
Calm down,
Fred. And then I guess he would light candles on Sunday morning. I guess that's, like, something you do in the Catholic religion before you head to church.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. And he would come back and he would find, which, like, also dangerous because, like, don't be flames unattended.
I'm very concerned about this.
Yeah, don't be doing that. You can get those ones now that are just, like, fake candles. Like those. But he came back and all of his candles were blown out. So, like, I think dead Fred was looking out for him.
If I was Fred, I'd be like, listen, I'm not dying twice.
I'd be like, have you ever heard of Smokey the Bear?
Yeah, this is my house too, buddy.
Only you can prevent hotel fires.
Exactly.
Yeah, so weird.
Wow, Fred.
And then also, one night, he came home from work or like something, and he said there was all his records and cassettes just all over his bed. Like, Fred was just trying to figure out what to listen to that night.
That's amazing.
He moved out shortly after.
I mean, he's not doing anything mean.
He's not. But everybody was saying, like, maybe he just, like, really took a liking to you because you helped out his wife.
Exactly.
And he thought maybe you were a cool cat.
Yeah, and he's like, I want to check out his music collection.
Yeah, what are the kids listening to these days?
I want to make sure he's okay. I'm blowing out these candles. I'm worried for him.
Yes. He's like, what's the cool jam?
And he's like, everyone likes to sleep in a cool room with some snuggly blankets, so I'm going to cool it down for you.
Obviously.
I say Fred is really in the right here.
I think so, too.
Fred,
yeah.
For life.
Honorable mentions go Love to those. A little girl dressed in Victorian clothing that apparently just runs around the fourth floor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
An old man who wears a purple jacket that is sometimes spotted in the basement of the hotel.
Okay.
He's just chilling.
Yeah, he is.
He wore a No, it doesn't work. And another honorable mention goes to a 32 caliber pistol that was just found chilling in the wall while they were renovating the hotel.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say the ghost of a 34 caliber no, pistol.
No, and the I was actual like, thing.
Whoa.
You were like, tell me everything. I was like,
tell me more about the specter of a pistol.
That would be it.
Holy shit.
Do you think that's like happened?
I hope so. That's the next episode is ghostly weapons.
Email us.
Yeah, spirit weapons.
Morbidpodcast@gmail.com.
And name it spirit weapons.
Name it honorable mention spirit weapons.
Because wow.
No. They just like found a 32 caliber pistol sitting in the
just
wall.
Just in the wall.
Yeah.
And you're like, that definitely murdered someone.
Easy.
No reason to hide that in the wall unless you did something bad with it.
Real nefarious.
It is.
That's wow. Our first installment of haunted hotels. And I gotta say, I want to do like 800 more of those.
There's so many.
There's a lot of hotels
around
the world.
So we're going to keep doing these. These are fun. If you have any that you want to hear, you know where to find us, morbidpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you put in the subject line, haunted hotels.
Yay.
Woo. And we'll do more of these because they're just fun every once in a while.
You know.
And after talking about Jack the Ripper for 5 episodes, I was like, whoo. Give me some spooky.
Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun.
All right. Well, guys, we hope that you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it
weird. But not so weird that you don't email us about ghostly weapons.
And haunted hotels.
Those two.
Do it.
Bye.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hey, Morbid, this is Weirdos.
Since Elena betrayed me and didn't go through with our brilliant plan for opening episode 544, The Career Girl Murders Part 1, we thought that we'd get it right with this go-round, as we tell you about one of our favorite deep dives that you might have missed within our feed.
In August 1963, Patricia Tolles returned home from work to find her apartment demolished. Shaken, she contacted one of her roommate's fathers, who stumbled across a truly grisly murder scene.
The media created a narrative that would, to their benefit, sell newspapers.
Every headline set out to make single women feel afraid and deter them from pursuing personal independence, instead of focusing on how people are depraved and that we should stop assholes from being assholes. You can find this episode by following Morbid and scrolling back a little bit to episode 544, The Career Girl Murders Part 1, or by searching Morbid Career Girls wherever you listen to podcasts.